song is going to be 192, and I just have a few words to say about this song. Now, all of you out there in internet land, we're going to make sure this song gets on for the service. For this song has been requested by your pastor's dear mother, all right? And she requested that we would sing one day as a congregation, and so that she can enjoy listening to it on the internet. Unfortunately, my parents very often are not able to get out to church on Sunday night, and so they listen to Racery Baptist Church, I'm sure they'll be looking forward to this. So I'm going to ask you all to do your best while we sing this, and Sam, you make sure you get a hold of this, all right? And sing it out. It's a great song, One Day When Heaven Was Filled With His Praises. And then song just kind of progresses and right on through. So I'm going to ask you to stand while we sing, if you can. You don't have to, but if you can. 192.
Came forth to be born of a virgin. Mother, I hope that blessed your heart. Now, how about that chorus, Living, He Loved Me. That's his ministry when he's here. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He kept my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. Kind of just progresses right through his life until we all get to heaven. So great things there in that song. Jason, do you have a song for us tonight?
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or this world affords
I kind of messed up on that verse that I said this morning I wanted to get to and never did, but it goes along with that song right there. I didn't quote it just right this morning on the message. Let me read it to you correctly here. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Lord willing, we'll get to that next Sunday morning, but kind of said that verse the wrong way this morning. And so now, this evening, let us go to Hebrews chapter 7. And starting at verse 4. Hebrews chapter 7. Starting at verse 4. We have seen now this man Melchizedek, who I believe is not just... And others disagree with me on this, but okay, fine, go ahead. But this is just what I believe about this, that Melchizedek is an Old Testament actual appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I don't think it's a symbolic thing or just even as a type. No, in other words, like there was a man, Melchizedek, he's a type of Christ. I believe that this man is none other than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, appearing in the Old Testament. That wouldn't be the first time. He appeared to Abraham at his tent door. Remember that? He called him the Lord. Then how about King Nebuchadnezzar when he put the three Hebrew youths in his fiery furnace? He appeared in the fiery furnace. Even Nebuchadnezzar said, I see a form of a man, fourth man in the fire, and he is like the Son of Man. And wow. So I believe it's just an Old Testament appearance of the Lord. Came down, showed himself. Because the description of him here can be none other than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's some good men who say different things about it, but there you go. That's what I believe about it. And in a couple of the messages, even here in my notes, I have Melchizedek, a type of Christ. Well, he definitely is a type of Christ, but I also believe further than that. It is Jesus Christ appearing in the Old Testament. And so we have seen that Jesus is better than the Old Testament because he is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then we're going to see a little bit more about that. But he's also better because he is a high priest in a superior order of priesthood. And that we see starting here in verse 4 down through verse 10. So verse 4, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Try to place yourself in the shoes or the sandals of a first century Jew who's hearing about this gospel through this man Jesus of Nazareth, who hung on the cross, was buried, and supposedly seen by men as a resurrected one, and then ascended back to heaven. And now his followers are preaching that we all need to trust in him in order to have salvation, forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven. Actually, even telling us to turn our back on the temple worship and the sacrificial system that's been in place since Moses, in order that we would trust this man Jesus, whom they say has fulfilled all the law, which we could not keep. And so try to put yourself into the sandals of a first century Jew hearing these things and hearing about this man Jesus, who we are to consider. consider him because even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. By the way, New Modern Versions will leave out that word even. You know what? That needs to be there because there's an emphasis being placed upon this. Unto whom even. The writer of Hebrews is trying to impress upon the Hebrew readers of this epistle that they need to consider this one whom even Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils unto. Verse 5, and verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So you kind of see a preeminence thing here, or a line of order going on here. You have Melchizedek at the top. You got Abraham. Now you got Levi underneath, and all the sons of Levi, which would also include Aaron, who started it off. Verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them, now that's referring to Melchizedek, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. I like the way it says, you know, Abraham had the promises. The promises that bless us, in whom all the peoples of the world are going to be blessed. This man blessed our patriarch Abraham, who underneath him you got the Levites, who received tithes of the people. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, so there's no question here. Remember this morning we were reading out of the Smithsonian Magazine, the evolutionists want to they have a little section called No Debate. Like, there's no debate here, evolution's the right way. Well, they're all messed up. I'll debate that. But you know what? You're not going to debate this. Verse 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. That immediately puts the patriarch Abraham and the Levites underneath him below this man Melchizedek right off the bat. And if Jesus Christ is this Melchizedek, then all Hebrew Gentiles need to consider this man for who he is. Verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Look back there at verse 3. Last time we were together, it says this about this Melchizedek: without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. So he does not cease. He liveth, always lives. And he has no descent. Now, the Levites have a descent. They're from Aaron, Aaron from Abraham. Abraham was blessed by this greater one. Verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes to this Melchizedek in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So folks, Jesus is a better high priest because he is in a superior order of priesthood. Aaron and his sons received tithes of the people. Melchizedek, who typifies Christ for us, is superior to Aaron or Levi's priesthood. Levi took tithes because the law said so. The law said all the rest of the tribes need to give one-tenth of everything they have to one-twelfth of the people, one tribe of the people, the Levites. Abraham gave to Melchizedek because he saw him as superior to himself. This was not an offering commanded for Abraham to give that the law commanded. The law wasn't even given yet until Moses. And here's Abraham, the father of all the children of Israel, the father of Moses, who would give the law, which would set up Aaron and his sons and the Levite tribe. Here was the man Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek, Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because he had to or was commanded, but as a voluntary offering. A voluntary offering. The Levites took tithes because they have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. By the way, this is the only passage in the New Testament where the subject of tithing comes up. And I am not going to take any time to try to establish the principle of tithing for you believers here at Ray Street Baptist Church on the basis of this passage. I don't believe you can. I don't think it's talking at all about the requirements of church age saints to be giving one-tenth to the ministry of the church or to the pastor of the church, like as if he's a Levite. And yet, do they not go to the Old Testament law in order to demand from folks like yourself one-tenth of your income to come unto them? They sure do. That's all I'm going to say. I don't believe this passage teaches that. And for 39 years, now going on 40, we have never required you to give one-tenth of your income to the ministry of this church. And we're not going to start by God's grace. Not going to start. Well, how much should I give? That's a good question. You figure it out. All right? You figure it out. How has God blessed you? And you just talk to the Lord about it, and you give as he purposes in your heart to do so. And that's the only thing I can say about it, and I'm done with that. I'm going to continue on with this passage talking about consider this man. Consider this man. Christ Jesus. Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham. Therefore, he is better than Abraham. Wow. You know, the Hebrew believers even still have a lot of respect for the Old Testament way. The temple was still standing. The sacrificial system was still very much in use. The priesthood was there. Aaron's sons and then the Levites, everything was still intact. It wasn't until later after the book of Hebrews was written that all those things were destroyed and everybody was scattered around. These things were very much intact. It's not too much far off from when you talk to people who are in so-called Christian denominations with all their traditions and denominational ways and orthodoxy and everything, for them to turn their back on that in order to trust Christ only for salvation. It's not too far away from that. That's why having a good understanding of the things which Paul says, things that are hard to be understood in this book, it's good to have a good understanding of the things in this book of Hebrews. Don't be tempted to not pay attention to this book because it doesn't refer to you today or it doesn't apply to you at all today. I think that you should be able to see some good applications even for a modern day person in quote unquote Christianity having to turn from all those things. These people are being called upon to say, I'm going to put my faith in a person who is better than anything that the Old Testament and the law and the priesthood and the sacrifices could ever offer. That's not to say that all those things are no good, but they cannot give a complete salvation. But this man can. Melchizedek, in type, still receiving tithes, whereas Aaron and his sons that followed him and the priests all die. But this man still has and still receives tithes. Verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. You know, that can't be said about Aaron. Those words, that of whom it is witnessed that he liveth, can't be said about any other man on the face of the earth. As well as Abraham, Aaron, Aaron's sons, and the tribe of Levi. They get tithes from the people. Even at the time of the writing in Hebrews, they were receiving the tithes. But here it says this man received tithes of whom it is witnessed that he's still living. He's still alive. He liveth, still receiving tithes, wherein the Aaronic priests die. Jesus, because he lives now, has a better priesthood to offer the Hebrews. This is a great portion in the book of Hebrews for the Jews to take note of and to consider how great this man was. Down to verse 11, or verse 9, Aaron and Levi and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Look at that in verse 9 there. Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now, you know, the Levites sit there as individuals receiving tithes. But even they paid tithes to this man in Abraham. Because they were still in the loins of Abraham. When Abraham stood there that day before this great man, Melchizedek, and voluntarily, not because he had to or the commandment was there or a law was in place, no, Abraham said, I want to give a tenth to this man, Melchizedek. Guess what? Every Aaron, every son of Aaron, every Levite was also doing the same thing. It's very similar to what took place in the Garden of Eden when our parents decided to disobey the Lord and eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many of you were there when that took place? I will say all of you. All of us. In what manner? In that we were in Adam, under his, we could say, headship, as he disobeyed God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. Everybody's included in what Adam did that day. We're all there. I think of that song, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord? Were you there when Adam sinned against the Lord? Oh, you sure were. You sure were. You say, well, I don't know why I have to be punished for what he did. You know what? You show that you're a sinner just like him very early when you come forth out of the womb. The Bible even says when the baby comes out of the womb, he comes out of the womb lying right away. It doesn't take long for us to show that we're just nothing but sinners. Unworthy, hell-deserving sinners. That's what we are. Until we come to the cross and have the burdens lifted like we sang in our song tonight. Aaron and Levi and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. This makes the priesthood of Melchizedek better than Aaron's priesthood. And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is said to have a priesthood after the order of this man, Melchizedek. Would you go back with me? And I only want you to do it just so you see it with your eyes. Psalm 110. Psalm 110. You say, oh, I know that passage. Well, okay. But if you just turn your Bibles, take a look at it. Psalm 110, my Bible, it says under the word Psalm 110, a psalm of David. That's what it says in my King James Bible. A psalm of David. And it goes this way. The Lord said unto my Lord. So David's talking about God in heaven saying something unto David's own Lord and Master. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This establishes that David's Lord, who in other places would actually be the son of David, would actually be a king ruling on a throne. Verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people, I believe that has reference to Israel, shall be willing. How about that? Are they willing right now? Would you say Israel's willing to receive Jesus? To receive this son of David? No, they're not willing. In the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Now here is something additional. Not only king, but let's see something else here. Verse 4. The Lord hath sworn. So here we have David's God making an oath. Now, this is the first time we see this here. We saw Melchizedek back there in Genesis, but this is the first time we see anything in reference to that Melchizedek. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Wow. So you know what? The children of Israel should be looking for somebody to fit the shoes of someone about to be talked about here. They should be looking for someone like this. It's not Aaron, as you'll see. Verse 4. Thou art a priest. So not only king, but now a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. And there it sits. There that statement sits for centuries. Unfulfilled until you come to the book of Hebrews. And you read about a man that you're supposed to consider. Who fits that description. Both king and now also priest. You know, there was a king in Israel, King Uzziah, tried to do the priesthood work. And he went into the temple to offer incense on the altar. And the high priest said to him, you don't belong here. But he thought he could do both jobs. King and priest. He went out of there with leprosy all over him. And they had to shut him outside the congregation, outside. Put him in a solitary place. But I want you to consider a man tonight who is both king, the rightful king, not only of Israel, but of the whole world. And all the enemies of Israel will be put underneath his footstool. And he will rule forever. Not just for a little time. Forever. And you know why? Because he ever liveth. And you know why? Because he's Melchizedek. And then secondly, he's a priest too. And may I say, Even though we're not going to go to scriptures to prove what I'm about to say, let me say this also. He is a prophet. So he's prophet, priest, and king. In what way is he prophet? He foretold the future. He foretold what would happen while he was here on earth. And let me go a step further. Not only is he a king and a priest and a prophet, but you know what else he is? He's the sacrifice that would be paid by death to take away our sin. He's all those things. And we're going to learn that as we continue through the book of Hebrews. Do you think in verse 4 that those words, "Now consider how great this man was," you think those are important words? You think you ought to do that? You think you ought to consider this man? You know, that's what I do, and I'm sure you do too. Every time you get those little door openings to talk about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know what you're doing to someone? You're saying to them, "Would you consider this man? Would you consider my Jesus? Would you think about him?" You know, you hand them a gospel tract. What are you doing? "I'd like you to consider this man. He's everything. He can save you. He can give you everlasting life. He is better than anybody else in the whole world. Would you consider this man?" So Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is said to have a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And this priesthood makes him a high priest of a New Testament that offered a sacrifice that can put away sin. And that's what we're going to learn when we get into verses 11 through 22. But see, the first testament neither offered nor made anything complete. Look at verse 11. "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood..." All right, perfection. "If therefore perfection..." In what way? The only way I can see that this in the context would be talking about anything would be between the sinner and God. The sinner and God. And that's what this whole book is about. This is what this man that we're to consider is all about. How sinful man can be reconciled to God. "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood," and in parentheses, "for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?" What a statement to be made here in the Word of God. That it says there, if perfection, all right, you want to be perfect before God? If that were available under the Levitical priesthood, "for under it the people received the law." Wow, now we're bringing in the law into this picture here with this man, Melchizedek. Better than Abraham and Aaron and the Levites. Now the law is being brought in. And I'm not going to go into that in any depth tonight, but I will as we continue, because some very interesting things are going to be said about the law. One of them is this. Go over to verse 18. "For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Which that better hope by the which we draw nigh unto God." All right, but that's for the next sermon on that. But going back to this verse 11 and 12. Well, verse 11. If perfection could come by the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek? And there's nothing wrong with introducing that here. Why? Because God introduced it hundreds of years ago in Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Period. There it sits. Hundreds of years go by. And now it's being brought up. You Hebrews, you Jews, are you finding perfection under the Levitical priesthood? The answer would have to be no. And the writer is going to really prove it as he continues on in the next few verses. The answer is no. So then we must look elsewhere for perfection. And where is that going to come from? It's going to come from this priest after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron, which is saying to them, you need to get your eyes off of Aaron and put them on this man. Put them on Jesus Christ. That's why later on in the book of Hebrews, can you go with me, and we'll finish here, to chapter 12, verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2, this would be a good place to stop. Back in our passage, now consider this, now consider how great this man was. Verse, chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down. Amen. Set down. Work is done. Complete. No, you Catholic priests, don't be calling him out of heaven to enter into your wafers and into your cups of your masses every day, every morning. You know, every morning I get in my car and I travel to my place to work, and I go by a Catholic church every morning. And there are devout followers of the faith just coming out around that time every day. They have just sacrificed my Savior again on their altar. I'm afraid that's error. That is blasphemy. My Savior did sacrifice, oh yes, but he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. If you're listening on the internet, I would say there is no man like Jesus. He's the one you need. He's the one you need. If you would turn your hymn books to number 566, 566. He's the one. 566, as we sing, if you need to trust the Lord as your Savior, come forward. We'll have someone help you. Take care of that matter. If you're listening on the internet, you hear us sing this song. We believe this. He's the one you need. He's the one who can help you. Yes, there's one, only one. 566, let's stand as we sing.
started out, I said, he'll never make it through this service. He came in, sat down, and yawned like that. I said, oh, how am I going to keep him awake? You know what? He's still awake. And you know what? Just congratulate him for getting through this. That is good to see that at the end of the service. Look, he's still there. He's still with it. Yeah, he's shy as can be. Yeah, but that's all right. That's good, but I just, you know, that's such a blessing. And those two boys, this morning when the communion was being handed out, they're looking. I can see them from up here. They're watching everything. You know, you're a testimony just by being here and doing that. Because these two boys need to grow up and understand what that really is all about. And it's just a good thing for them to be able to see you all doing that kind of a thing. What do you think, Josh? Good? Good?
100% agree.
Amen. All right. Now, we got some coffee going downstairs, and we got some brownies and some banana cake. And you're welcome to it. So even if all you want to do is drink and fellowship, that's fine. None of the drinks are going to intoxicate you, okay? All right. We don't do that stuff. Can you imagine churches actually providing kegs for their picnics and stuff? This goes on. Not Ray Street Baptist Church. No way. Right, Brother Chris? No.
You will be captivated.
Yeah, you might get picked up a little bit there. Yeah, all right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the fellowship together. Thank you for this dessert and bless it to our body. And the good fellowship we can always have here. It's always good. Thank you for the songs we sing. Thank you for this man, Jesus Christ. May we consider him every day. Keep us safe as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.